Today we're talking again about healthy in, healthy out. The opposite of that is garbage in, garbage out. We all heard our mamas say that growing up. Garbage in, garbage out. You know, at least if they were concerned about us, we heard that, right? But this is the opposite of that. We want to bring healthy in, and guess what's going to happen? Healthy out. So today I want to talk to you about receiving the messages in consequences and how that affects our healthy in and healthy out. All throughout your life, you've been taught the principles of reality. The principles of reality. And through good and bad consequences, that has been your teacher throughout your life. Have you received the messages of the consequences about reality in your life is the question. There's constant messages through the actions and reactions that are coming into your life. That's consequences. Consequences teach us the principles of reality. Haven't you noticed that? The principle of reality is gravity. How many of you learned the principle of gravity when you were young? Absolutely. There's consequences to falling to the ground. It happens. Touching something hot or living a selfish life. All of the consequences that come with that kind of a life or those kind of decisions. And here's the beauty of it. Those consequences are very consistent. And that consistency is a gift from God. If every now and then when you fell, you didn't hit the ground, well, you might not have that much of an understanding of the consequence of being stupid. And so the consequence of falling to the ground always happening means I always need to pay attention and make sure I don't fall to the ground. If I go and walk off a building at some point and I don't fall to the ground, well, man, that's not much of a consequence. But the consistency of the consequence keeps me from going and just walking off of a building. So it's a gift from God that these consequences happen. We're able to predict the consequences in our life, and that's good. But also know this, living a clean life results in great consequences. And that's always true, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing. Doing life with God's boundaries in effect in our lives yields great consequences in our lives. Being a good friend brings great consequences in our life. Showing up at church, doing the things that God has called us to do, yield great consequences in our lives. Now, the best of parents are those that are consistent in letting consequences happen consistently to their kids, aren't they? Knowing how to do that and staying at it and constantly communicating consistently, this happens if you do this, but this happens good if you do this, that's a good parent, isn't it? Too often, though, it seems the good consequences are slow to come. And the bad consequences happen very quickly. How many of you can relate with that? In other words, it seems like good consequences are delayed while they grow. It takes a long time for an oak to grow from a little seed, doesn't it? But how amazing it is when that oak tree is big and beautiful. Weeds grow really quickly. And how frustrating weeds are. I love the old story. Every time I hear it, I love it. Maybe you've heard it before, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. There was a preacher. He was driving down the road, and he came upon a beautiful farm. It was beautifully manicured, and as he drove past it, he was just drawn to it. So he pulled into the long driveway and just stopped and began to take it all in. And he looked, and there was a little garden on the side of the house, and he could just see the fields. They were just a beautiful gold color. It was just absolutely beautiful. The house was painted and well kept, manicured and beautiful, and ripening tomatoes over in the garden and vegetables off to the side, flowers and a beautiful row of trees down the long driveway. You can just imagine how beautiful this place was as the preacher sat there and just enjoyed it. It actually took him back to his childhood. Well, just then a farmer drove up in a tractor. And the preacher waved at him, and the farmer pulled over and got close enough, and he idled down the tractor, and the preacher said, "Hello." He said, "Hello." He said, "My good man, God has certainly blessed you with a magnificent farm." farmer kind of twisted in his seat, looked around at his pride and joy, and he finally looked back at the preacher and he said, "Well, my good preacher," he said, "he sure did. And we're grateful, but you should have seen the place when he had it all to himself." Good consequences take time in our lives, and they take effort. A good marriage takes a lot of time. You say, "Well, John, you've got it made. You've got Angela. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's sweet." Yes, God has certainly blessed me with an amazing wife. He sure did. And I'm grateful for it. But you should have seen her when he had her all to himself. She won't know about that, right? Yeah, thank you. You can gain 5 pounds in one meal, and it takes 3 weeks to work it off, right? Good consequences are slow to happen sometimes. You can spend $1,000 with one swipe of a credit card, and it takes you a month to make that much extra money. Good consequences are slow sometimes. They take time. Good consequences also take intention. If you want healthy out, if you want healthy consequences in your life, you have to intentionally put healthy in. How much better do you feel when you're reading Scripture throughout the day? Some of you have been reading the Scriptures, morning, or breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's wonderful. And sometimes it's the exact Scripture you needed to read. How much better do you feel when you're doing that? When you eat healthier food, when you're doing healthier things, when you're not feeding your soul garbage, the Scripture says, Jesus said, that the eyes are the windows to the soul. Are you feeding your soul garbage through what you're taking into your eyes? In the Bible, there's the story of the Pharaoh. He's the Egyptian king, and he was rejecting the consequences that God was putting in his life. He continuously rejected them, and it caused great pain. Thousands of people, in fact, lost their lives because of this man, and indeed, he lost his own life. But you see, in Egypt, it wasn't just Pharaoh that had a hard heart and wasn't listening to the consequences. It was the whole nation. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt for 400 years, and they were being used to build one of the greatest empires this world has ever seen. You can still go online and you can see pictures, and you can go visit there today and see the magnificent architecture and the things that the Israelites were used to build back in the day. Absolutely amazing place. Well, God sent Moses and Aaron to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. God said, "Go there. I will use signs. I will show them that you're the one that's sent by me." And they went and they talked to Pharaoh and they showed Pharaoh the non-consequential signs that God had given them to show. We've talked about these over the last few weeks. One of those was that if he would throw his staff to the ground, it would become a snake. Another one would be if he stuck his hand inside his coat or inside his robe and then pulled it out, it would look leprous, and then he could put it back in, it would be clean. So non-consequential signs that God was giving to Pharaoh and even the Israelites to understand that these guys were sent by God to actually speak for God. Well, there was a situation where they threw the staff down, and actually the magicians came in and said, "Oh, well, we can do this. Our stuff can become snakes too." Well, what happened to Moses' staff? It went over and it actually ate up their staffs, their snakes. So there were these real spiritual significant moments that they could have grabbed onto that were non-consequential, that were signs that they could have said, "All right, God is in this. We need to go after this." Well, Moses' staff was something God would leave with him for so long so that he could use that as a sign all throughout the time for the Israelites. Pharaoh could have listened. The Israelites did listen, fortunately, at that time, most of it. But Pharaoh could have listened. But instead, he hardened his heart. And he wouldn't listen to the non-consequential things. Pharaoh was under great pressure. Have you thought about the political pressure he was under? Everything seemed to be good. Imagine an entire economy built around slavery, free workers. Letting the slaves go would be great problems for him politically. The people were used to the Israelites doing all their grunt labor. Taxes were low because the kingdom could actually use them for whatever they wanted to use them for. So to let the slaves go, that means he was going to face great political pressure. That's a problem. The people were good with slavery, the Egyptians, that is. There wasn't a voice from Egypt saying, hey, this is wrong. Why do we let slaves be in our community? This is not right. We should not be doing this. We should not be treating these people this way. There wasn't one voice that we read about from Egypt saying, this is a problem. We shouldn't be treating these people this way. There was nobody to stand in the gap for the Israelites. And God asked Moses. Actually, he told Moses. Because when you read through it, Moses didn't even want to stand in the gap. Moses didn't want to come back and fix this problem. Well, Pharaoh allowed fear, the political pressure from his people, to make him angry and blind him to the consequences of not doing things God's way. Pharaoh grew up with the slaves. This was just the culture. This is the way it's always been. Everything was fine as far as he's concerned, except for the Israelites. The Israelites weren't fine with it, but everybody else was happy with it. They had a strong military. They were very powerful. They were feared in the community, in the world as a powerful nation. But as far as he could see, this enemy could wipe out anybody, but he could not see that God could wipe out their whole military in just a matter of seconds by just God just wiping them out. Well, because he wasn't receiving the lighter consequences, God increased the consequences he would face. And these we know as the 10 plagues. You've heard of the 10 plagues? Let's walk through those real quickly. Exodus chapter 7 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to the river, confront him on the bank of the Nile, and take in your hand the staff that was changed into a snake. Then say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go, so that they may worship me in the wilderness. But until now, you've not listened.' This is what the Lord says. By this you will know that I am the Lord. With the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed into blood. The fish in the Nile will die, and the river will stink. The Egyptians will not be able to drink its water." God turned every canal, every stream, every pond, every glass of water that was sitting on somebody's table into blood. And the only way the Egyptians were able to get any water was to go out and dig next to the Nile and be able to find some water for that whole week. Pharaoh hardened his heart even still. He hardened his heart even more. After 7 days of that passed, Moses warned him of a plague of frogs. How many of you like frogs? I guarantee you, after this kind of a situation, you would no longer like frogs. They would cover the entire country. Frogs would be everywhere, even in the palace, in their beds, it said, in their ovens, frogs would be in there, all over their food, everywhere frogs. Can you imagine? Frogs climbing up you as you're walking down the street, in your home. It's horrible. And it happened. Pharaoh said, "Oh man, we got to deal with this." So he conceded. "Moses, would you pray and please ask God to stop this? This is horrible." So Moses prayed. But before he prayed, he said, "Listen, I want to give you the opportunity to say, when is this going to go away?" So the Pharaoh knew for sure that the frogs were sent by God and that they were going to go away a certain time, so that Pharaoh knew that this was also God taking them away. The consequences to his actions is what the point of this was. Moses prayed. God killed all the frogs, so he left them there. And the scripture says that they were piled up. You can imagine them being like snow piled up, only it was green snow, that is. Heaps and heaps of frogs in great piles across the entire land. And they stunk. It was horrible, the stench of it. It says they stunk horribly. The people were greatly affected by this situation, the consequence of doing wrong. God wasn't just working on Pharaoh, was he? God was working on the people too. And as soon as the pressure let up and the frogs were dead and they started getting them out, what happened? Pharaoh's heart hardened again. And he said, no, I'm not going to let them go. Well, then God sent gnats. You've been walking along and all of a sudden there's a big thing of gnats. Riding a bike. Can you imagine gnats everywhere? Same thing happened. Hardened his heart. Flies came. Flies. And I got a feeling it wasn't just house flies. It was probably those green horse flies. You know what I'm saying? Horrible, horrible flies. Pharaoh would end up hardening his heart even more, ignoring the severe consequences. Then the fifth one was God sent a horrible plague on their livestock, their horses, their donkeys, their camels, their cattle, their sheep, and their goats. All of it. Horrible plague. Then there was boils. You ever had a boil? Don't tell me about it. Boils all over. What happened was Moses went in to see Pharaoh and he took some soot from the furnace and he threw the soot in the air and the wind began to blow it around the room. And as the soot began to land on the people, all the people in the room became a problem. Boils. Then it began to blow all across Egypt and everybody all across Egypt. And what happened was Pharaoh said, hey, bring in the magicians. Let's see if they can do this one. They sent for the magicians. Magicians said, we can't come. We're too covered in boils. It was that bad all across Egypt. Pharaoh, once again, hardened his heart, and the people were very affected. But you see, it wasn't just Pharaoh. It was the people as well. God told Pharaoh through Moses, listen, Pharaoh, by now I could have wiped you off the earth. By now I could have killed you, but I'm using you to show my people my power, or the people my power, and let people know who I am. God was using Pharaoh's hard heart to show the world who he is and how powerful he is. The seventh one was God sent hail. Now in Texas, we know all about hail, don't we? Those hailstorms of those grapefruit size comes right through your roof. Horrible hail we can experience here. Well, God had warned them, tomorrow there's going to be the worst hailstorm Egypt has ever seen. He warned all of the people, worst hailstorm is coming. And it says that the Egyptians who feared the word of the Lord, in other words, they've seen and heard the consequences and received it. There's a message in this. We need to let these people go. There's a message in the consequences. We believe him. If he says hail's coming, it's going to come. Well, those people got their servants and the people off the fields, their all their cattle and everything. They put them in their barns. They put them in a safe place and protected them. What was left, that is. And the people that didn't believe, the people that didn't listen to the consequences, just went on their day like no other day, or every other day, that is. They just went on like everything was going to be fine. Everything was going to be good today. There's no consequence headed our way when God had clearly said the hailstorm is coming. Well, what happened? All their stuff, all their people, everything was killed that was left out. The Egyptians who received the message and the previous consequences were spared. Now let that sink in. They received the messages and the previous consequences were spared. Now what are we talking about? At some level, we're talking about common sense. When something hurts, don't do it. Consequence, I need to change. I'm going to change my attitude. I'm going to change my life, or I'm going to change how I'm doing this situation. Well, this was absolutely the worst storm they'd ever seen. Everything was beat down, people, animals died, trees were stripped clean. And look at what it says. The only place it did not hail was the land of Goshen. Guess who was living there? The Israelites were protected from the consequences of Egypt's sin. Pharaoh begged, please, please, please tell God to stop. Don't do this. Let it be ended. Moses prayed, the hail stopped, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. And the people suffered. Then God sent locusts. How many of you enjoy just eating locust? No. Same thing. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Then he sent darkness. There was darkness on the earth for 3 days. So dark, nobody could see anyone else move about for 3 days. That is, in Egypt. Yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. That's God. Clear consequences. No question about it. God's people have light. Egyptians do not. Consequences. So here's the bottom line. The wonderful consequences of belonging to God are great, but the consequences of living against His will are awful. How many of you can attest to that? So the question is, have you received the messages from the consequences you've faced in your life? How many good things has God brought into your life because you took a step of faith? Because you did something good? How many bad things have come into your life because you walked without Him? The question for every one of us is this: how long do I have to suffer the consequences before I receive the messages in them? This church is full of people who aren't better than you. It's not about being better than you. John Horn is not better than you. We know Jason's not. And we know Chuck's not. This church is full of people who simply decided to receive the messages and the consequences they faced in life. Does that make sense? It's not about being holier or better. Just full of people that have made the decision to go ahead and listen to the consequences that they've faced in life. It is better to live with Christ without than it is to have everything we want or could imagine and live without Him. How many of you can say, yes, that is absolutely true? Yes. The Apostle Paul, who at one point was a terrorist to the early followers of Jesus. James, David, would you come? The Apostle Paul, this terrorist, he came to Christ. Let that sink in. He was a terrorist. He came to Christ. He was putting Christians in jail. He was overseeing the stoning of Christians in the early church. He thought he was doing God a favor. He was a terrorist. He had great zeal going after the early Christians, killing them. And God came to him and said, wait a second, you're not doing me a favor. You're on the wrong team. Let's get you on my team, my son. And Jesus actually came to him on the road to Damascus and said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. He came to Christ, and he was teaching about this in his letter to the Romans. He said, just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. What is God saying? Just as you used to be a slave in Egypt, the stuff you used to do as a slave to unrighteousness, the addictions, the struggles, the strife, the relationship problems, just as you used to live with that, now, with that much energy, put it into being a slave for Christ. With that much energy, with that much emotion, with that much desire, and even more, now you're free as a slave to Christ. Do you understand that? As a slave to Christ, you're free. He says, when you were enslaved to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you're now ashamed of? How many of you are ashamed of some stuff? A few of us? You should be ashamed for lying if you're not. He says, those things result in death, but now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness and result, the consequence is eternal life. For the wages, the payment of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here's the kingdom law. This is a law that is written for the kingdom by the kingdom. Here it is. The wages of sin is death. The consequences of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now the beauty of this is, He's forgiven us for our sin. And for the rest of our life, it is our choice of how we're going to live. God wants us to live on the side of victory. And He wants us to take a moment today to just stop and say, okay, the consequences of this is this. And just to be real with it. If it's a relationship you're in, doesn't matter how much time you've invested. I talk to people all the time. Well, I've got 5 years invested in this relationship. I can't just throw that away. Really? Wait a second. Are you throwing that away, or are you throwing the next 20, 30 years that's for the rest of your life away? Which one are you going to throw away? Even if it's only 2 years left doing the will of God, if that's what it is, you don't want to throw that away. The wages of sin, the payment of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God has given you eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here's what you need to know. God is relentless. He is relentless in His attempts to get you free from the enemy. Stop and think about all those plagues. And don't you know God is willing to do the same kind of thing to get you out of the clutches of the enemy's hands. Over and over and over, consistently communicating, this isn't working for you, it's not working for you, it's not working for you. It's time to change, it's time to stop. What did Jesus come preaching? Change your life, God's kingdom is here. What is He saying? Good consequences will come to you. Eternal life. Just look how determined He was. And that same determination was seen on the cross to deliver you. So what's life been telling you? There are two different messages that you've received by choice. One message or the other. When it comes to all your problems, comes to all your struggles and all the consequences you face, you're hearing these messages, one or the other. Two interpretations of life. One is God loves me, or the other is God hates me. You choose which one you believe. Guess which one is true? Would you bow your heads? Which one have you been believing? Have you believed a lie that God hates you? All these consequences keep happening, struggles. Well, there's another way to look at it. Maybe it's God relentlessly drawing you closer to Him. That's how much He loves you. He's going to consistently communicate, this isn't working for you. It's not working for you. If you'll trust me, if you'll come to me, if you'll begin to do things my way, there'll be good consequences. There'll be good things to come your way. Would you turn your life over to him today? Father, we come to you and we thank you that you are consistent in your communication. Life is so much better with you. Even if bad things happen here, it's so much better with you. We've seen it. We believe it. And we believe the greatest consequence that we can face is eternal life. Thank you for eternal life. Eternal life with you. Thank you for loving us. And today there are some here that are making decisions that are hard, that are hurtful, to let go of some things in their past, to let go of someone, or to let go of an addiction. We pray, Father, for deliverance now in the name of Jesus. Their body to no longer crave it, their mind to no longer want it. In Jesus' name, let there be deliverance, healing, and help. We choose you. We choose life today. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, maybe today there's somebody that has accepted a new relationship with Christ right where you're at. I will not embarrass you. I just want you to be able to verify this is a new day. This is a new beginning for me. And I just want you to look up at me until my eyes catch yours, if that's you. All right? Anybody else? New day, new beginning. All right? New day, new beginning. This is it. Amen. Amen. Oh, God bless you.